SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Running of tonight's edition of Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius Channel 159. Lisi holding it down for the first hour. Big matchup taking place in Arizona. We got top-ranked UConn, top-ranked Purdue national championship game. Klingon versus Zach Edey. Doesn't get better than this. Right now, pre-tip total, 143.5. You got the UConn Huskies, 6.5-point favorites. Purdue plus 230 on the money line. We'll get into our breakdown in just a little bit. You want to join in on the conversation, obviously, tonight, give us a call. 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. Have a sizzle play for the MLB. A little bit late night action. I'll get into that. San Francisco and Washington. That could be a solar eclipse triple diamond special. We're going over the 7.5 total in the ball game. I like it. It's minus 112. We might even take it, alt it up to potentially 9 or 10, put it with some golf, and maybe even sprinkle in some prop bets on the national championship game. So we're going to be here for the next 2 hours. We have in-game coverage from 9 to 10 as well, a little bit different than what you're used to. We'll break it down. Tip in Arizona tonight is 9:30 as we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience, to Carver and Lisi. Lisi in the cockpit for the first hour. We're going to be breaking it down. Zach Edey and Purdue, can they upset the defending national champions in the UConn Huskies? UConn has looked dominant. Purdue has looked dominant as well. But right now, you look at the total and you look at the line, favors the UConn Huskies to go back-to-back. 6.5-point spread right now on FanDuel. UConn minus 280. 143.5 the total. They've hammered that down from the pre-tip of about 147.5. That came out right after UConn knocked off Alabama. Line was in the area of about 147.5, 147. They smashed it down immediately down to 146.5. And over the past couple of days, we've seen more action on the under. I still lean to the under in the first half and the under for the matchup, especially when you have two big players, right? Edey, Klingon. We know that UConn's one of the best defensive teams in all of the country. We know about Purdue as well, but I think the first half could be a feeling out process. You look at the secondary players, they're going to be critical for whoever wins this matchup tonight. You look at UConn, we saw Tristan Newton come on in regards to the second half. My guy, Steph Castle, what a dominating performance, 21 points. If he could duplicate that type of productivity tonight, well, then guess what? UConn's going to walk, I believe, to a national championship. But when you look at the role players for Purdue outside of Edey, Braden Smith is a player that I'm going to key on tonight. Didn't step up. I thought he would be part of the offense in regards to Saturday's matchup. Abysmal, 0-for-7 from the field. More importantly, 0-for-4 from beyond the arc. He needs a better effort tonight. His numbers are a little bit watered down. I jumped on him 15 plus. They gave me, I believe it was 230, and I took a shot at 20 plus tonight for Braden Smith at 720. So similar numbers to what Steph Castle had on Saturday night. Steph Castle's total was about 11.5. It was even money, but to get 15 plus was, I believe, 240. I had it with a profit boost, got me up to plus 275. And then his big total was the 20 plus. I nailed that on Saturday night for plus 720. So tonight I'm on Braden Smith threes, 3 plus at 4-1. Braden Smith to score 20-plus at plus 780. And then for him to score 15, it was plus 240, but I boosted it up to 3-1. If he starts fast, I could open up things for Edie underneath, and maybe potentially Purdue can be within the 6.5, 7-point number tonight. Tip-off is a little bit late. I like that. For everybody that's crying, get... Come on, it's a national championship game. If you're under 60, under 70, don't cry. You go to bed 12, 1 o'clock, big deal. It's to watch the national championship game. You want to give us your take? Give us a call. Like I said, Carver will be joining me in the second hour, 844-843-6879. We're going to get into a lot pregame. We'll talk about, as we inch closer to the tip, the line movement. We'll pick out maybe some specials on there, potentially 20, maybe 17. But if you believe Edie can get to 33-plus, not a bad bet in regards to the special market. We're going to touch on also the situation out in Lexington. John Calipari now becoming the head coach at Arkansas. Musselman has moved on to USC. Who do they get? Who does Kentucky get? The Blue Blood program hasn't stepped up. Coach Cal has really coached that team down over the past four or five seasons. They were a one and done this year. A lot of people thought they were the best thing since sliced bread. Kentucky with all the young talent. They're built for the long haul. They got smashed, right? Round number one, they get smashed laying 13.5 in regards to Oklahoma. Whoever they get, you're Kentucky. You need to at least advance to the round of 32. A lot of talk about Hurley. If that's the case, does that affect any type of mindset tonight? We know that Hurley's been locked in regards to coaching. He uses everything as bulletin board material. But these question marks, is there any pressure on Hurley to win it now and go back-to-back and then potentially jump ship? And I don't understand either. When you see these coaches, and I talked about it with Kev on the TV side, in regards to, you know, he brought up Kalen DeBoer moving on from Washington to now Alabama, the pressure, and it's a bigger job. I get that. But if you're Hurley, UConn is not some garbage program. You won a national championship with Jim Calhoun. You won a national championship with Ali a few years ago. Now you have the potential to be back-to-back national champions. That's pretty good lineage. Now, it's not as long as Kentucky in regards to a blue blood, but modern day, you could argue that maybe UConn's had a better success in terms of basketball as a program the past 20, 25 seasons. Now, I know back in the mid-90s, they won it with Tubby Smith, but it's a good argument. When you think about how UConn has hit the ground running and had great success with Jim Calhoun to now where they are with Danny Hurley, why would you want to leave? We'll get into that coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is, baby. Don't turn that dial.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That's what they need tonight. They need bounce and tons of bounce. They need to follow the shot and get some bounce. I am curious tonight how UConn plays. Because I will say this, if there you want to find a little weakness to UConn, they did get pulled into the Alabama style of game in the first half on Saturday night. You know, UConn has done a fantastic job all tournament in regards to dictating the tempo. And I always say when you're an underdog, you have to be the one to dictate the tempo. And Alabama was able to do that. But credit UConn. They weathered the storm and still had a five-point lead at halftime. They shot a ton of threes. And the one thing that allowed Alabama to be in that matchup was that they connected on 8 of 11 three-pointers, 73%. They just cannot maintain that type of shooting for 40 minutes. And that is the biggest question tonight. How does Purdue start in this matchup. Do they look to push tempo? Do they look to really set up Edie in terms of the half-court game? I do want to bring up the rebound market because, obviously, Edie is the favorite. You want to talk about 12-plus rebounds. Edie at minus 148. No shock there. But Klingon to get 10-plus is plus 245. And Klingon to get 12-plus is plus 590. If you believe both guys are going to battle, and we talked about it with the DJ Burns. DJ Burns wasn't a player that really got a lot of rebounds, but if you believe that Klingon's going to step up on the defensive side of the ball to some capacity, and maybe both teams are a little bit tight, well, we know Edie can get rebounds, but Klingon at 10-plus is really not asking that lot that much, especially if you believe that UConn is going to win the game and they're going to have a second-half lead. Well, then that could lead to Purdue chucking shots at the end and Klingon potentially cleaning up the glass. So at 10 and 12-plus, that might be a way I might play this early on. Take a shot with Klingon 10 and take him with 12-plus, and then let's see how it plays out. I mean, if you want to get crazy with Edie, 14-plus is plus 148. Now, I did see the specials, and I'll get Matthias in here to just see what he thought. But I saw Zach Edie, Matthias, to convert, I think it's 10 free throws tonight, which if you think about the games that he's had and you think about his performance, I just got to get the line. Do you think that's doable for Zach Edie? Not to attempt 10 free throws, but to convert 10 free throws tonight.
You know, Joe, I do like that play because, you know, he gets to the line quite easily. The tricky situation here is, you know, UConn's big man, is he going to be able to stay out of foul trouble? And is he going to be able to play clean defense? A lot of the times that he gets to the line, it's because he's playing against teams that are undersized and they always have to work a little extra to try to, you know, to try to do anything to him whatsoever. And usually when you do that, you foul. So, he's been lucky that he's had to play against undersized teams, in my opinion, to the point where those guys have had to foul him and get him to the line. Now the question is, does the UConn big play clean defense to keep Edie out of, off the line? And I don't think he is. I think the big man's going to get him. Edie's very talented, Joe. You know, I think that's the one thing. He's not just a big guy who lives under the rim, a DeAndre Jordan type of basketball player. You know, this guy has great footwork. He has great hips. You know, he has a knack for the arc when he's around the hip like Shaq did. He loves to throw that hook. And therefore, he knows how to get to the line because, you have to respect what he can do around the paint. And when a big guy can move around the paint like he does and go to the rim as aggressively as he does when he gets the ball in the paint, he's going to get to the free throw line in the same way that the greatest big men in the game have gone to the free throw line. You know what I mean? The greatest bigs in the game, they get to the line. You know why? Because they finish around the rim. And I think that's what makes Edie a special player. It's not just that he's big, Joe. It's that he can finish around the rim. So I think he's going to get to the line. I just hope that he shoots the ball well. You know what I mean? We've seen Edie shoot the ball miserably at times. I just wonder if tonight is one of those nights.
All right, hero. You know how I call out Carver, hero, right? Zach Edie to record 10-plus is plus 195. So you said you like that, right? And then Zach Edie to get four blocks is plus 440. Five blocks is plus 850. You jumping on any of those? Hot shot?
No.
No?
I wouldn't jump on
it. You just told me it's like... Wait a second. You just said it's like a showdown, like Hakeem Olajuwon and Pat Ewing. And you wouldn't take that to one of these big men eat?
No, Joe, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You know, if I would do anything with Zach Edie tonight, which is, shoot for the stars, it's for him to get over 5 assists. And right now, I think his assist prop is at 3 assists per game. So if I really wanted to dig deep, I'd go with 4. You know what I mean? Why get too cute? I think Zach Edie gets over 2.5 assists tonight. That's one of my favorite plays of the night. And I'm even going to do a little bit more digging and throw 4 in there. I also like Mason Gillis on Purdue to score over 1.5 threes.
Okay. I like it. Well, let me just throw both big men out. For both big men to score or combine for 50, Edie and Klingon is 50 plus at 12 to 1. Okay? Any player to record a triple-double is 40-1. All right? That's juicy. Huh? 40-1? I tell you what. I'm starting to think my guy Castle could step up again. If I don't like UConn overall, but Castle's number's 10.5. I mean, that is so light. Castle stepped up with 21. Could he put back-to-back? If he does 15 again, it's plus 250. So I might take a shot on Castle tonight again. And I might take a shot on Klingon with the bounce. So I might go step up in a big way with the rebounds tonight. I think that's what I'm going to do. What do you think? Now, I didn't ask you. Do you like UConn or do you like Purdue? I like Purdue with the points, but I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it out on the money line. Are you backing UConn or Purdue?
I'm backing UConn. I am. I think they're going to play good defense on their guards, Joe. You know, I don't think Braden Smith is going to have a fantastic game tonight. I think he'll have a decent game. You know what I mean? He's a good basketball player, but I don't think he's going to dominate. I think Edie's going to be one of the brightest spots for Purdue. I think Gillis is going to have a big game tonight. You know, I think when you play for as long as these guys have played on the team, they're not afraid of the moment right now. I think Gillis is a big-time player coming off the bench for them, especially when, you know, he extends the floor. I think Lawyer could have a good game for them, but I really do think that it's UConn's game today. You know, it's their league this year, their size, their defense. They've played the same way all season long, and that's why they've gotten to this point. I think Purdue's answered all the bells. You know, they've answered every single doorbell that's came their way, and they've answered it well, man, and they've played good basketball. But I just think that this is a step too high for them. If Edie was the biggest guy on the court, Joe, I would back Purdue. But I think today they run into, you know, not a buzzsaw, but I think they finally get hit back a little bit, which is going to put them behind the eight ball.
See, now I am curious. I think the guard play with Newton and Steph Castle is much better than what we've seen out of Braden Smith and his counterparts for Purdue. But again, you know, one game is on the line. Anything could change. You know what I mean? If Braden Smith gets hot and starts to get into a little bit of a rhythm, that could open up things for Edie. I will say, I think when you look at the big men, I think Edie does have maybe not so much the height. Well, he's the biggest guy on the court, but again, I think he's going to be able to eat, especially in regards to the offense. Of boards as well. So let's see how this plays out. We'll talk more about the national championship game coming right back on Carver and Lisi. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi breaking down the national championship game. Lisi in the cockpit. I'm riding solo, man. No gauges, no controls. I'm out of control off the rails. Just kidding. We're on Braden Smith tonight, in case you just joined the show. You want to give us your take? Give us a call. 844-843-6879. That's 844-843-6879. That game is about an hour and 4 minutes away. Carver and I will be on live, giving you in-game coverage for at least potentially the first 10 minutes of that matchup, and then I believe we'll kick it over to our in-game Bracket Central crew, but I could be wrong. See how that plays out. Maybe Gabe's on beyond us tonight. Mateus will let me know. But I did want to bring up the situation in Lexington with Coach Calipari. If you're Coach Cal, you made a great decision. You get another 5-year deal at an SEC program that has the potential to be a diamond in the rough. Arkansas has talent. Musselman couldn't coach them up. But let's not forget, they were a darling a couple of years ago in regards to the Sweet 16. They were running fast and loose, played offense, played defense, very athletic, just couldn't get out of their own way, had some injuries early on, and limped to a subpar under 500 record within the conference. But if you're Coach Cal, it's a great, great program. They have the resources, number one, not as much as, obviously, Kentucky, but definitely they're going to pour money into the basketball program. They do so with the football program as well. But not only that, there's no real pressure now. After Musselman basically moved on, and I said it was a gutless move, the expectation and the bar is not that high in year number one for Coach Cal. He could obviously just step up, do what he has to do. We know he's a master recruiter. And really, as long as he takes his team to the tournament, wins at least one game in his first year in regards to the round of 64, he then now is cooking with house money, right? If he did that in Kentucky, or and let's say he bows out again in the first round, they would have chopped his ass. They weren't going to, you know, stand for Coach Cal. They couldn't even spell his name right in terms of the Lexington Journal there. They spelt it with a K as opposed to a C in regards to his last name. That's how much they love Coach Cal. It was almost like, you know, you have to bring him back because what are we going to do if we let him go? There's talent there. Can we cultivate it? We know that he can recruit, but from the in-game perspective and the X's and O's, Coach Cal really, think about it. He didn't really have to coach when you got the five stars and you got the freshman phenoms. It was like almost that train was in motion. You know, we saw it with a lot of these coaches as it relates to college basketball, and you could throw Roy Williams in regards to that as well, where once you're at the pinnacle and the kids come to the school, it's almost like you forget the X's and O's and the coaching up aspect. And that's why he didn't have success, Cal, in terms of the one and done. They weren't really built for March Madness. They didn't have the mental fortitude, and they didn't have the ability to out-scheme and out-game plan when they didn't have the proper talent. That was on Cal. That was on nobody else. The difference is the expectation level, even though it's high in Fayetteville, it's not as high as the expectations in Lexington. You could equate Lexington to Alabama and Tuscaloosa as it relates on the football side. It's college football playoff or bust. And that's what Kalen DeBoer has to deal with this year, taking over for the great Nick Saban. And, you know, the expectation level for whoever they get as the new Kentucky coach is going to be, all right, you might get 1 year a pass where, you know, all right, you win an SEC championship, you get to the round of 32 and maybe you bow out. That's good for 1 year. It ain't good for two. And the thought process was to get maybe, you know, Hurley, if he wins this, throw a boatload of money, make him the highest paid college coach. Now, on the flip side, if you're Danny Hurley and you win for UConn, why do you want to leave? Why would you want to leave? All right, money, I get that. You know, money's always a driving force. But if it relates to money and success and you have that train in motion and you have the recruits and you're building potentially a dynasty as it relates on the modern day level in college basketball, why would you want to leave? What more do you really want? And I understand for certain coaches, it matters, right? The money. Maybe for DeBoer, moving on from Washington to Alabama, that's a huge step up. This is Washington was not a Group of Five program, though. Washington was a Power Five national champ back in the early 90s with Don James and never got back to that success. Kalen DeBoer brought them to the potential pinnacle, and then they lost. It's very difficult if you're looking at Washington to Alabama. But UConn, you're getting those five-star recruits. You're building that potential dynasty. You have the ability to potentially, if you win tonight, to maybe win three in a row the way Kirby Smart had it in Athens. And I understand that Kirby Smart was an alum, but Danny Hurley has the ability to continue that lineage of Calhoun, Ali won it, and now he could be a coach like Billy Donovan from Florida and Jay Wright that won two national championships, Billy Donovan back-to-back. But think about that for a second. Think about what that means in regards to his resume and you're just going to throw it all away to go for the money at Kentucky. Sometimes the grass isn't always greener, and I just don't understand. A lot of these coaches do it. Lincoln Riley left from Oklahoma to USC, and guess what? He still hasn't won anything. He's still trying to get to the college football playoff. He's still trying to win a Pac-12 championship. Where are you now, Lincoln, drinking your Mountain Dew and eating your Doritos? Huh? Grass isn't always greener. The money sometimes doesn't always drive the bus. That has to be a factor as well. I would love to see some of these coaches say and be loyal to the program. A Matt Campbell type at Iowa State, because he loves Ames, supposedly. And maybe he missed his window. But that's what I'd like to see. Matias, your thoughts. Do you think if Hurley wins, he jumps for the money at Kentucky?
I do. And I know that
you're
he
gutless.
Has no reason to leave UConn. You know, I get that. You know, if he wins two championships in a row, he's a legend. He's an East Coast guy. I get that. But sometimes people need new challenges in life, man. I think once you've reached that pinnacle, you want a new challenge, especially in today's era. You know, if this was old school and, like, you know, the 90s and early 2000s, where you stay with one team and you win as much as you possibly can, I would say otherwise. But in today's era, I feel like coaches move on once they've won and won and won. Would it surprise me if he stays at UConn another year? Of course not. No, you know what I mean? Why leave a great situation? You know, the whole saying, you know, the whole, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah, but I do think that when a job like Kentucky comes around and they haven't won in however many years, you want to go over there and you want to win again, and then that puts you in the legendary books. You know what I mean? That then you become a legend. You win at UConn, then you go back to Kentucky, you win in Kentucky. That's a big stuff right there. You know, that's a big challenge and a big hurdle. And I think Coach Hurley likes those types of challenges. So why not go for it?
Yeah, it is amazing. It is interesting to see, you know, that type of situation and what transpires in regards to that. It is amazing when you think about it. It really is. And we talk about these coaches doing that all the time. It is amazing. I don't know. All I could tell you is that if you're a coach and you claim to be building a dynasty, and I get it, he'll potentially win too, right, if he does that, and maybe his work is done. But you could always win three, and you could always be loyal to the program that actually put you there. He bounced around as well. It's not like this is his first coaching gig. And what is the end-all, be-all? Is it just about the money? Or is it just about, you know, unfinished business, always taking a program to the pinnacle, and you always want to be challenged? I just don't get it. We see it in the NBA level, Matias, as well. It's just unbelievable to me when you think about that, no? I mean, is it always just money drives the bus on every level?
Money talks, right, Joe? You think so, but I feel like once you've won enough and then you've done that and you have your money, you want to go after the legendary books. You know what I mean? You want to go things that you'll always be remembered by. You know, when people used to ask me, do you think LeBron's going to leave Miami after he won as many championships he did in Miami? And you think, why would he go to Cleveland? You know, what's in Cleveland? You know, going to win in Cleveland is legendary stuff. That's why I think he went back to win there. But then he left. He didn't stay in Cleveland. He left Cleveland. You know, he went after another challenge. So I think when you're on those, you know, in that level of championship caliber stuff where you've done it before, you know, been there, done that, you know, you want to keep doing it in different places.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that. I do see that side of it. But again, they always claim that the student athlete is why they coach, right? It's not always about the student athlete. It's about the value of a buck. Matias, you know that as well as anybody. Coming right back with some more NFL talk. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159 here with you on a Monday night on the grid. Mike Carver, and of course, Joe's been with you here as I now join in. Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Hi, Carver. I was just going off about the Calipari situation.
Yeah, I heard you on my way here. So
Look, it's great for Cal. He gets rejuvenated, no pressure. He's going to get...
It's great for Cal. It's the right move.
It's the right move for him because they would have chopped him after...
They can all blame themselves, the Kentucky fans, when things get worse, because they're the ones who drove Cal out. Because they
I agree, but it's win now or get off the pot. We know that, but the thing that bothers me is, like, if they do throw a boatload at Hurley... And he wins tonight. I mean, you're telling me the guy can't stay there? Oh, it's a blue blood program. I get it.
I don't think Hurley will leave. I don't think Hurley.
No, but you can make the argument that UConn is just as successful as Kentucky's been the last 20 or 30 years in hoops.
It's not an argument. It's a fact. They've been more successful.
Right. So fact. When you think basketball program. I mean, that's the factory. If they win tonight, what is that, four over the last 25 years or maybe five?
I think it's six. How many Calhoun?
Well, Ali won one. Yeah. If Hurley wins, that'll be three. How many did Calhoun win?
Hold on one second here. The first one that he got was...
93?
They've won five. This would be six if they won.
Right, okay.
99, 2004, 2011, 2014, which was the Ali one, and then 2023 last year. So now this will be six if Hurley wins tonight.
Unbelievable.
And I don't need to tell you, I think it's only two for Kentucky in that time span.
Tubby Smith and Cal, right?
Correct. They had Joe.
Tubby Smith in 97, 98.
They have eight altogether, but obviously, 96 was about didn't Pitino win in 96, right? 96, 98, and 2012, which was Cal.
I mean, it's a long time.
So in the span of time and what did I say the first UConn was? 99, right?
Right.
So they've actually this. If they won tonight, it would be 6-1 since 2000, since 1999. It would be 6-1.
I mean, come on. Which is the blue blood program as it relates to hoops?
I don't think he'd leave, Joe, because of a few factors, and one of them is he's got such a good thing there going right now, and UConn will pay. He's probably gonna get a raise out of it. Which there was all this talk. They were going to re-talk about his contract anyway. He's a Northeast guy.
I was just going to say
I know there's some questions about them being in the Big East with how all these conferences have expanded and whatnot. But I'm not worried about that, Joe. I actually think he'll be there.
Let me ask you a question, though, not to go off the beaten path. You know where they are in New Haven and right out there, right in that area, Stores, right?
Yeah, Stores, yeah. Yeah. Plays the game some games at Hartford.
That's a city as you know, just like St. John's. It's not as city. It's more suburbia, but it's still considered
correct
city. How is it that he, like when we talk about Pitino, granted resources, but there are programs that win in the cities. And when you think about the media market in regards to the New York market, you would think money's there if the product is good. I don't know.
Yeah, no. And here's what I do know, Joe. I know that they have to have a huge name because their spoiled fans aren't going to, you know, they're fans who really don't have any sense of reality when it comes to realistic expectations. They won't accept not even a secondary guy, but like even a guy who, you know, maybe has won somewhere but isn't that big of a name. Like, they won't accept that. Like, it's got to be big name or nothing.
I've heard Oates. Kentucky ain't taking Oates.
I don't know about that. Now, there's an $18 million buyout at Alabama, but as we kind of pointed, we talked about this afternoon, you know, they just saved If they would have fired Cal, they would have had to give him, what, $32 or $33 million?
Right.
So, you know, you kind of try to split that number in half, and then suddenly, you know, I think they need somebody like him, Joe. I think that that's a – he's gotten enough juice now where that will make the fan base happy. He's obviously coached the last few years in the SEC. I think that that's the type of guy. Now, if you're Alabama, Joe – you know, you can't allow that to happen whatsoever. You really can't, because you can tell me you're going to lose Saban and Oates in the span of 5 months. That doesn't sound very good for that university. It doesn't sound
no, but good. But I am going to be curious if Hurley does stay. Who do you get? You know, do
well,
you get?
You know, there's. I actually think, and like I said, there's been a lot of names thrown out there. There's actually one that I think is really good, because I think he might get fired from his job, and he's won championships in college, and that's Billy Donovan. And I just now look, Joe, you say what you want about what he's done in the NBA, which isn't a lot. He was a hell of a college coach.
Yeah, but he's removed from the current environment.
You're right. When he won in college, it wasn't with the stuff that's going on now. So you're right. It's probably a little different. Knows Kentucky, though, as from way back when, early in his coaching days as assistant. So there's some things there. But they need a name, Joe. And they also – and here's the other reason why he doesn't probably work. Although their season actually ends on Sunday. NBA's over on Sunday. The Bulls will be in the play-in. With this, it's just like with how fast Alabama replaced Saban. With – the transfer portal and all these other things, you need. I feel like they've got 40 to 72 hours, and they gotta.
I agree.
They gotta have somebody else in there.
Well, here's what I would do if I'm Kentucky and I'm the AD. Here's what I do. Granted, if you want to give it a shot, throw whatever you want at Hurley if he wins tonight or if he loses, right? If he says no, my second, and I've tweeted this out, I try to throw the same package at Jay Wright. I think I would say, Jay, do you still have the fire in the belly? If so, come to Kentucky. He's only removed about, what, 2 years at the most? And you're talking about a great coach from an X's and O's standpoint. And I think he could do a much better job than what Cal did. So I would go Hurley and Jay Wright.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think Jay. I think Jay loves that cushy seat on TV now.
And well, yeah, he's got it going. But I'm just saying, you gotta entertain it.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I would probably entertain it if I was them. I do want to get into Joe. Obviously, we have this game coming up. Let's first hear Carver and Lisi. Let's talk to Mike and see what Mike's got. Maybe he's got something on Cal or a play for tonight's game. Mike, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Mike? Hey, good guys. How are you? Hello.
Lovely.
How are you, Mike?
Hey, it's been a while since I've called in, but I'm always listening. Love the show. So,
Thank you.
I'm in Delaware, and the only site I can bet online is Bet Rivers. But I want to see what you guys think of this. They got UConn. This is one of their quick picks. UConn -6.5. Assel over 9.5 points, and Klingon over 6.5 rebounds for +310.
I mean, I like it because honestly, UConn's probably going to smash them tonight. So
you think they're going to smash?
I don't know. It would be the way this whole entire tournament's gone. I mean, let's just call it like it is. This tournament has been a dud.
Yeah, no buzzer.
It's
but
been
Mike,
a dud.
It's a good
There's
pick
been no
if you're
gas.
Back in
it's,
UConn. I like
if you
it
like if you, UConn. Yeah. I like the stuff they have attached to it, the Klingon boards. You said Castle with the points, right? Is that what you had on there? Castle with the points?
Yeah. Castle 9.5 points, Klingon 6.5. And I'm usually the type of better when somebody usually has a long streak, I usually bet against it. But like since they've won 11 games in a row in the tournament by 10 or more, but like Hurley is definitely once he gets his foot on your throat, this guy does not let up, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. I think he's going to smash him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
I like the clinging boards. I talked about it earlier, Mike. 10 plus and 12 plus are like great value, 4-1 and like 8-1. And if you think they're going to have the lead with, like, you know, 8 minutes left and Purdue starts chucking, there's your bounce. He could definitely well get over six. And I was on Castle the other night. I had him for 20-plus. So I think he's poised for another breakout game. So just comes down to whether you believe UConn's the side.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I'll be watching, right. and I'll be listening, guys. Love the show.
Awesome.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it as always. There he is, Mike. Joe, we'll have some time here at the top of the hour. I'm sure you got into the game a little bit at the beginning of this hour, but we'll start to really zero in. It actually upsets me that, of course, I don't have the player props and you do, because I mean, I don't love this game, Joe. There's probably some things I would love from the player wise of it. Tonight, I want a good game. We all want a good game, right? Like, I'm out of gas in terms of futures. Like, I'm out of nobody. We lost all those Alabama tickets, so we're done with that.
That killed us on Saturday. We were in striking distance.
So, yeah, they were. The problem was, Joe, and me and you haven't talked about this, like, they weren't going to go 8 for 11 from 3 again in the second half.
No,
like,
but what was Oates doing, though, Carver? Down by 8, he's letting them take the clock down. I mean, why are you down 8? He was letting them take 30 seconds off the clock.
What are you doing?
You're gutless. I wouldn't want him in Lexington based off that alone.
He's gutless. Let's just call it like it is. He's gutless.
Well, I don't understand what he's doing. The whole game, they're pushing tempo. They're down 8 with 2 minutes left. They let UConn take the clock down to a 120. Who does that?
It's true. You're right. But it is what it is, Joe. You got the two best teams tonight, hopefully, and hopefully it looks that way.
I hope it's a good game. Screen. I really do. I hope it goes. Yeah. I hope final 8 minutes, it's like a two possession game. I really hope we're into this from start to finish. I don't want it to be a blowout.
No, but like I said, I just feel like it's going to go with the. It's going to go with the theme of this whole entire tournament, which is the games have been a little underwhelming and. You know, probably the result will maybe the, you know, I think the result will probably be in doubt. Won't be in doubt with 5-10 minutes to go. 5-10 minutes to go. I think you're going to know who it is. And it's probably going to be UConn. It's unfortunate, but they're just a freight train, Joe. They're going to run over him tonight. Run over him. You got anything else going on here? You got any baseball?
I got a solar eclipse triple play crypto. I said, don't look up. You could smash down your book.
Oh, I saw this with the Giant game tonight.
Yeah.
Is that where you did that? Yeah.
Smash him, Mike.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. All right, Joe, so we have this game coming up. We'll do one last deep dive here. It's at actually 9:20 East. Is when they tip. I love how they figure that stuff out.
Got 40 minutes. Got a lot of mo, Carver. A lot of mo.
25 minutes, just about.
25 minutes. I'm in on this Braden Smith.
Okay. You got something cooking with him. All right, tell me at the top. The Mets and the Braves are tied at 4. Brandon Nimmo just hit a 3-run homer for the Mets. Reds lead the Brewers 9-8. In Cincinnati, so that's been a wild one, well over the total. Pirates lead the Tigers 7-3. The Tigers have the bases loaded, though, in the top of the 8th. Jays up 4-0 on the Mariners. Dodgers and Twins tied at 2 in Minnesota. Phillies just scored a run. They're up 2-0. I need a Schwarber homer tonight, Joe, if we could ever find one. Rangers and Astros already off and running. It's 5-4 in the bottom of the 2nd. So, lots of runs between those two teams. Rockies up 1-0 on the Diamondbacks. And we still have Rays, Angels, Cubs, Padres, Nationals, Giants. Joe's on the super over or slam special between the Nats and the Giants tonight, I believe. So, over 7.5, Joe. The solar eclipse over.
The solar eclipse triple diamond smash your book into oblivion.
All right, and that's what you're...
Webb on the mound.
With Webb on the mound.
Snell, right? Is it Snell?
Snell is on the mound making his first start for the Giants tonight, yes.
Smash him! Smash him!
Smash him. There is no NBA tonight, of course, with the national championship game. There's only two hockey games of the Masters this week, too, Joe, as we get ready for the Azaleas at Augusta. We got another hour. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.